We're on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Surah Ta'ela Omar Rav Ella Omar Bar Bered Ravina, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top. And if it helps, the first word in the line is Ha'ein. Let's just review. We're trying to figure out, how do we know that if you cook the Gdi in its own milk, or let's call it an Eitz, right? You cook the goat in its own milk, how do we know that's included under the Iser Basar B'chol? Because the Torah prohibits cooking the Gdi in its mother's milk. So the milk comes from the mother. What if it's not that you're cooking the Gdi in its mother's milk, but you're cooking the mother in its own milk, which means that before you shechted the mother, you milked the goat, so you have goat's milk from this particular Eiz, and now after you shecht that Eiz, you cook that goat's milk from that Eiz with its own flesh. How do we know that that's included under Basar B'cholov? Because that's not the explicit case that the Torah addresses. So the Gemara suggests a Kal V'chomer from Shechitas Eim Al HaBen, B'yom Echad. In that case, we have what's called pre-impri, and we have pre-im-imo. Pre-impri would be the case of two siblings that were born to one animal. So one animal gave birth to two offspring, and if he were to shecht those two offspring on the same day, he would not be in violation of the Isur Shechita, and that's called in the Gemara's language pre-impri mutter. So you have this triangle, right? You have the mother animal, and you have the two offspring, and you shecht both offspring on the same day, that's mutter. However, pre-im-imo, if you were to shecht the offspring together with its own mother on the same day, then you violate the law. So you see that the Torah is mekil in Shechita with regard to pre-im-pri, and yet the Torah is machmir with pre-im-imo. How much more so in Basar B'cholov, where pre-im-pri is asur? Now what does that mean, pre-im-pri is asur in Basar B'cholov? The answer is that you take the meat of a gedi and you cook it in its mother's milk. The milk itself is called pre, just like the gedi is called pre. So the A's, so to speak, gives birth to two things. It gives birth to a little kid, and it gives birth to milk. Both are produced by the mother. That's called pre and pre. And yet the Torah says that you're not allowed to cook the flesh of the gedi with the milk of its mother. And the milk of its mother is called pre. So that's pre and pre asur. Whereas the Torah in Shechita was matir, was mekil in pre and pre. The Torah in Basar B'cholov is machmir in pre and pre. Is therefore in Basar B'cholov kol shekein, how much more so pre and imo would be asur? Because we saw in the case of Shechita, even though pre and pre was mutter, but pre and imo was asur. So how much more so in Basar B'cholov, where the Torah was machmir and prohibited pre and pre, which is gedi b'chalev imo, how much more so with the Torah be machmir, he atzma b'chelba, in a case of pre and imo, where he cooks the milk together with the A's, the boss of the A's itself. The Gemara tried to reject this Kal V'chomer with a pircha, and that was the pircha that the Gemara quoted from the halacha of Harbas Kelayim. Because there in Harbas Kelayim, we have a case where pre and pre is mutter, I'm sorry, that pre and pre is asur, and pre im imo is mutter. The Gemara rejects that because that's called zera avu de kargarim. That has nothing to do with pre and pre, with pre and imo. That has to do with zera ha'av. And yesterday we had these diagrams and we went through all the cases. So what we're up to today, which is about 10 lines down from the top of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, is El Omar Bar Berei Deravina. And now the Gemara is going to offer an alternative pircha. The pircha from Harbas Kelayim was not successful, and we're still trying to find a pircha. Now, you may ask, why is the Gemara's agenda to find a pircha? You know, if a kavachomer is a good kavachomer, why mess up a good thing? But the answer is because the Braisa derived the Iser of Chalav Imo, Bibasar Imo, being the Chalav of this Aes, with this Aes, from a Pasuk, an extra Yitur Dekra, which means that the Kavachomer per se would not be reliable. And we now need some sort of Pircha on the Kavachomer from Shechita, because in Shechita we saw that Priyam Pri is Mutter, yet Priyam Imo is Asur. So how much more so Bas Mechalav, where Priyam Pri is Asur, that's the classic case that the Torah describes of Gedima Chalev Imo, how much more so would Priyam Imo be Asur? So what is the Pircha on that Kavachomer? So Mar Berei Deravina suggests a pircha Mishum De'ikla Meimer Eved Ben Shivcha Achi Meshukheres Yochiach. Here's a case of pre and pre that's also. You have two siblings and you're not allowed to crossbreed them. In other words, if an Eved was born to a Shivcha and he has a sister who was a Shivcha born to the same mother, the same Shivcha mother, and then she, the sister, received what's called a Get Shichur, so her master gave her a Get Shichur. She's not allowed to marry her brother, who's an Eved. And that's called Pri and Pri Asur. And yet, Mutter Pri'im Ha'em, assuming that neither the Eved himself nor his mother the Shivcha received a Get Shichur, then he's allowed to have a relationship with her. Now we're going to come back to try to analyze that in just a second, but let's just get first the structure of the Pircha here. We have now a case where Pri'im Pri is Asur, and yet Pri'im Ha'em is Mutter. So we now have a precedent that would lead us to the conclusion that in Bas Mechalav likewise, similar to this case of Eved B'Shivcha, even though Priyam Pri is Asur, but Priyam Imo might be Mutter. Well, where's that precedent for Priyam in Pri Asur and Priyam Imo Mutter? That's the case of Eved, where the Eved is enjoined from having a relationship with his sister in the case where she got a Get Shichur, and that's called Pri and Pri, and yet the Eved, if you read this Gemara literally, is allowed to have relations with his mother, who's a Shivcha, and that's called Pri and Aim Mutter. And that would be a tremendous pircha on our Kalvachom from Shechita, because it turns everything inside out. In Shechita we said Pri and Pri is Mutter, and Pri and Imo is awesome. But now, in this case of Eved and Shivcha, we're saying Pri and Pri is Asur, and Dafka Pri and Imo is Mutter.
It's a very difficult Gemara to teach this one. This is very difficult.
So am I going too fast? I mean,
No, I'm just saying, in the classroom.
In the classroom, yeah.
It's extremely
difficult. I mean, let's say it was a high school classroom.
Yeah, very difficult to make sense.
Okay, now let's try to think a little bit about this Gemara that says Umutter Pri'im Ha'em, which means that the Eved is allowed to have a relationship with his mother. So I have here a footnote, and in the note he quotes a Sugyan Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Chesam in Beis that says, quote unquote, Eved Mutter Be'imo, which sounds like we should take our Sugya quite literally, that an Eved is Mutter Be'imo, which is what we call Priyam Im Eim Mutter. However, the Gemara clarifies this on the daf there in Sanhedrin, that only applies Let me just go on for one moment. Aval Eved Knani Shenolad L'Shivcha. Arehu Eved Belo Giyur V'Asur Be'Imo. So we're going to have to reinterpret our Gemara here, because in the line of the Sugya in Sanhedrin, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin states that Eved and Imo is Asur. What is the case where Eved and Imo is mutar? That's going to be a case of a person who was born to his mother before she converted. She was a goyita. Then he was sold as an Eved, like any goy could be sold as an Eved. And in order for him to be a Jew, he would have to undergo gerus. And once he undergoes gerus, then on a Doraisa level, at least, he's mutar be'imo. Why? Because ger kikot shenolad gavi. It's like a newborn. He's no longer related to his biological relatives. But in the case of an Eved Knani, who was born to a shivcha, which means that he's an Eved without girur, so there's no din of kikot shenolad gavi, he's asur be'imo. If that be the case, that in our Gemara, when it says that mutar pri im ha'em, and that's the case of Eved ben Shivcha, it would have to refer to this very unusual case where he was born to his mother and then he was misguided.
And then mutar be'imo.
And then he would be mutar be'imo. Rashi seems to take this Gemara literally as saying that he's mutar be'imo, but that seems to be against the Gemara in Sanhedrin. If we're talking about a case of an Eved Knani who's born to a Shivcha, which means he's an Eved without Giyur, then he's certainly asur be'imo. Again, this requires a lot more study. He has a whole piece here, the name of the Teferis Yaakov, our favorite good-wishing rabbi. Right. Okay, so at this point, the Gemara has a very good pircha, which would make us happy, because then the Kal V'Chomer from Shechita is not valid, and we need a Yitur D'Kra, a special pasuk of Chalev Imo, is an extra superfluous pasuk to teach us that he atzma bechelma is asur. However, the Gemara rejects the pircha. This is the dechias ha-pircha. Zok the Gemara, hasam, there in the case of Eved ben Shivcha, where we said he's not allowed to marry his sister, which meant that pri is asur, is get shichur hu de kagarim le. The reason why he can't marry his sister is simply because she received a get shichur, which makes her into a baschorim. Once she's a baschorim, then she's asura. She cannot marry her brother who's an eved. Now again, this iser, if I understand correctly, is not because it's her brother. This has nothing to do with Arayos, because again, once she gets a Git Shichur, she's not related to her brother, but simply because her brother's an Eved. And a Bas Yisrael is not allowed to have a relationship with an Eved. That's why I understand it. I can't promise you that that's correct. But in any event, the Gemara says that it is the Get Shichur that's Gorim. It's not that Pri and Pri is Asur. Pri and Pri is Asur only because it's not really Pri and Pri in this case, because the Eved is a Pri. She, although biologically she's a Pri, but she received against Shichur, which completely cuts her off from her original relationship and all the Yuchsin and the Mishpacha. and therefore she's not allowed to marry as a bas chorid at Evan. And the Gemara wants to prove now that an Evan ben Shivcha, if his mother received a get shichur, to an Evan ben Mishuchreres, which means that his mother, the Shivcha, received a get shichur, Achi Shivcha Yochiach, which means that if he and his sister did not receive a get shichur, only the mother received a get shichur, then Mutter Priyam Pri, the Evan would be allowed to marry his own sister. He's an Evan and she's a Shivcha. So what was your basis? You assume that Priyam Pri is Aser because the Evan can't marry his sister. Well, that's only because she received a get shichur. If she had not received a get shichur, then Enoch Hinami, he would be Aser to marry his sister. Now let's ask the following question. Is he allowed to marry his mother? And the Gemara says, the Aser Pri Im Ha'em. He's not allowed to marry his mother because she already received the get shichur. She's a maschorin. So again, in the case that we had before where his sister received the get shichur, and therefore he's not allowed to marry the Evan is not allowed to marry his sister who's a Shivcha Meshuchreres, that's not because Pri and Pri is also, because in fact Pri and Pri would be mutter in the case where she didn't receive a get shichur, and therefore there's no comparison here between Evan and Bishul Bas Mechalav, because in Evan it's not a case of Pri and Pri also. It was only an unusual case where he cannot marry his sister because she received a get shichur, but if all things were equal and neither he nor she received a get shichur, then he would be mutter to marry his sister. And that means that fundamentally Pri and Pri is mutter. And fakeret, in a case where the mother received against shichur, then Pri and A would be asur, which is exactly the structure that we want to superimpose on Bishul Bas Mechalav, that Pri and Pri is asur, but it's very possible that Pri and A would be mutter. And now we have two precedents. We have the case of Shechita where Pri and Pri is mutter, and yet Pri and Ma'em is Asur. But against that precedent, we have the exact opposite in the case of an Evan and a Shivcha. Because there we're going to come to the conclusion that Pri and Pri is mutter. Just one second. Let me just get the structure again. Oh, so in Shechita we said Pri and Pri is mutter, and now we're saying that in the case of Evan and Shivcha, Pri and Pri is mutter. He can marry his own sister, and yet Pri and Imo is also in so far as his mother received to get shichur. And in Shechita we said Pri and Imo is also. That's the basic iser of Shechita. Is then we have the Kal Vachomer that in Bas Mechalav where Pri and Pri is Asur, which is Gedi B'chalev Imo, then how much more so we should be Machmir Priyam Imo, because we find Priyam Imo is also the case of Shechita and an Eved with his mother Shivcha Shenishtachara. So Priyam Imo is Asur, Priyam Imo is also in Shechita, Priyam Imo is also in this case of an Eved with his mother receiving a Shichur, and therefore Bas Mechalav Pri and Imo should be Asur. And the Kal Vachomer is strengthened now because in Bas Mechalav Pri and Pri is Asur, which in Shechita in a parallel case would be mutter, and in Evid with his sister Shivcha in a parallel case would be mutter, and that would be the case where his sister did not receive a get shichur. So we're desperately looking now for a pircha on the Kal Vachomer in order to justify why we need a Yitur the Krah, a special drasha of Bechalev Imo to include He Atzma Bechalev.
Presently, that's exactly what we're looking for. Why do we need the Yitur the Krah?
Exactly. So we always have to keep in mind where we're holding in this sugya, because if we're holding in favor of the Kal Vachomer, then we have a problem we're stuck with. Why is it that we need Yitur Dekra to include Chalev Atzma?
Right.
But if on the other hand we have a good valid pircha, then we could justify the Brisa's use of a special drasha to derive hi atzma bechelba, bechalova, I should say. So Rabosai, this is a very, in a sense, counterintuitive sugya, where we're looking for a pircha. We need to find a pircha to a kavachom. So we're up to Ella Omer of Idi Bar Ovid. He finds a pircha in the parsha of Klai Zroim, which is Kelayu. And that means that if you have two species, you're not allowed to plant them together. Now, here also, we're going to talk about pre. What is the aim and what is the pre? Because again, unless we get pre and pre and pre of emo in a mirror image, in a parallel, we don't have a pirchon to the kavachomer. So the pre of emo is going to be the karka. The karka in which you planted these two medim is considered the aim that produces these two medim. So what's going to be in a case where a karka produces two medim? You're not allowed to plant them together. And that Iser is an Iser of pre and pre. Why? Because both these medim are produce that came from the karka. So they have a common aim is the karka itself. And that's called pre and pre. So the Torah says that pre and pre is awesome. However, mutar pri im ha'em. Now what does that mean? Mutar pri im ha'em. The answer is that you're allowed to plant, period. Right? If let's say I want to plant a zera, I want to plant a bin zera, I'm allowed to do so. So what do? I put a seed in the karka. The karka is the aim, and it produces a zera. There's no kelayim in that zera. I only have one bin. So in a sense, that bin with its own karka is like pre with emo, and it's mutter. You want to tell me that in Basa v'cholam, I have a kal v'chomer from shchit, as we discussed earlier, to prove that pre and pre is awesome, but pre and emo, I'm sorry, that if pre and pre is awesome, then how much more so pre and emo is going to be awesome? Well, here's a precedent for a case where pre and pre, two different medium that were produced by the same karka, are awesome, but yet pre and emo, which means if I take a pre that was produced by this karka itself, I have no problem in planting it and growing it in the karka. There's no iser pri im ha'em. And that's the pircha on the kal v'chomer, because we're trying to establish based on the kal v'chomer from shchita that in bas v'chol pri im imo, which means the atzma, the chol of atzma shel ha'ez with the bas of that very same ez would be asur. Well, I have news for you. Pri im imo is a kula. Even though in Shechita we found that pre of Ebo was the Chumra, you can't shech the mother and the child on the same day, but here, in the case of Klai Zeroyim, pre of Ebo is a Sibo LaHakel. And that's going to be a Pirchon HaKal Mechomer. You have no right to derive Bas Mecholov and the case of He Atzma Mechalova from the case of Shechita, where we found that pre of Ebo is Osir. Let's compare it to Klai Akera and Klai Yisrael, where pre of Ebo is Osir. So once again, the Gemara is going to reject this pircha. And the Gemara says the following, Klum Nesar pre im pre Ela al Yidei Ha'em. But it's Klai Yisrael. When we say you cannot plant pre and pre, two different meaning that were produced by the same karka, he says the following. He says every zriya is through karka. The iser is not because of karka. I can have cases where I produce the same bin and I can produce it many times over from the same karka, and yet it's mutter. I can crossbreed those meaning. So this is not fair. And you're telling me that klai roim is a result of pre-im imo, meaning that the karka is viewed as the aim. And now you want to tell me, well, pre-im imo is mutter. No. It's always going to be the karka that produces the peros. The question of whether or not you can mix these two peros is not dependent on or generated by the karka. It's generated by the midim. Do we have two different midim or do we have the same min? So for example, I will prove to you that any time that you talk about zera, you talk about karka. The karka has to produce the zera. And once the karka produces the zera, then I decide whether I have one bin or two bin. Let's say I plant a few different plantings in the same karka. What did I get? Did I get the same bin? Did I get two different bin? And the Gemara now wants to suggest that when you plant a pre and pre, then by definition, it's always going to be a zriya of a pre with a karka. But if I have, let's say, for example, two medium that were not produced by the karka, how can you have medium that were not produced by the karka? Dochiti visari bakada. Let's say I have a big vat of water, and I can plant both chitim, which is wheat, and sior, which is barley, in the same large vast vessel. That's called hydroponics, if I'm not mistaken. Is lo mitzuru. They don't become osur. Why? Because the min is only a min if it's a pri, which means that it was produced by karka. In this case, it wasn't produced by karka. There's no isur kelayim. They were never planted in the karka. If they were never planted in the karka, you can't produce bidim that would be subject to the isur of kelayim. In other words, we have no proof from klayak kerem to the din of pri and pri. Because again, as we said, the din of pri and pri here is not dependent upon whether it's the pri of the aim of the karka. It's always, in all cases, going to be the pri of the aim. You can never generate a zera as far as klai zroim is concerned in the absence of karka. Without karka, there's no klai. So what is klai? Klai means if you have pri and pri, that's two meaning, or pri and pri, that's the same min. If it's pri and pri and two meaning, then it's also midin kelayim. If it's pri and pri of the same min, then it's not also midin kelayim. So we're not in any way discussing the difference between pri of emo and pri of peri. It's always going to be a pri which is a pri of emo, namely of the karka. And now the question of zeroyim depends upon what do I have. Do I have a pri with a different pri, and that's called tuvidim, and that's also mikolayim, or do I have the same min, and therefore it's pre with pre that's mutter? So you'll have pre and pre that's mutter, you'll have pre and pre that's osur, and the kovan, the determining factor, is whether it belongs to the same min or it's two different minim. That has nothing to do with our discussion here, the kal v'chomer from shechita, where we're trying to differentiate between, in the case of shechita, pre and pre, which means that you had a mother behema that gave birth to two offspring, and you're allowed to shef both that offspring on the same day, whereas you can't shef the mother with its own offspring on the same day, because pri of imo is osur. And that's going to be our paradigm for the kal v'chomer, because in bas v'chomer likewise, we're going to say that if the Torah prohibits pri of pri, which means in a case of gedi b'chalev imo, and we said that the chalav is called pri, how much more so in the case of pri of imo, and the precedent for that is going to be shechita. So we're still stuck, and we don't have a pircha. So here's the bottom line of the Gemara. After all this pilpul, for about a block Gemara, we finally come up with Rav Ashi. Ela om Rav Ashi. What is the pircha? Mishum de'ikal ha'meimah. Ma'al pri im pri, shekein shnei gufim heim. The Torah prohibits cooking milk with meat because they are two different objects, two gufim in the Gemara's language. You have you have the basar of the gedi, and you have the cholov of ibo. And they're two separate entities, two separate identities. The Torah is opposed to mixing these two identities. Tomar, can you derive any conclusions therein from pre-Ibha'im when you cook the mother with its own milk? Shekein guf echad. That's a case of one guf. And this becomes the final pircha to justify Mishum Hachi Tzukra, the need for the Yitur Dekra of Chalev Imo to teach me Bechalev Atzma. Now in the footnote, he makes a number of very important points. First of all, he has a Svara of the Chassam Sofer, and honestly, I'm just going to share it with you. It's very far into my approach to learning, but the Chassam Sofer introduces a moral element here into this. It's very good for a drasha before Musaf on Shabbos. And that is achzarius. That perhaps what underlies the Iser of Bishul B'chalev Imo is cruelty. It sort of it injects in a person's system, his midos, cruelty. So he says the following, that if you take the mother and you, for example, in the case of Shechita, you shecht it with its own offspring, that's cruelty. And so too, if you cook the gedi with its mother's milk, that's cruelty. However, he claims, again, I'm just presenting to you the Chassam Sofer, then we'll get to other areas. He claims that if you cook the mother with its own chalav, with its own milk, that's not called achzarios. Why? He says because the Torah permits you to slaughter an animal, take its food, take its flesh, cook it, and eat it. That's not called cruelty in the Torah's perspective. So therefore, if he takes the chalav, which is also like the basar, it's also one part of the mother, and you cook it after shechita with the mother, that's not considered achzarios. When does it become achzarios? When he takes the kid, right, the gedi, and he cooks the flesh of the gedi with its mother's milk. Fine. So therefore the pircha, he says, is all based on a moral analysis of the parsha of Basa B'chol. That's what Rav Ashi means over here when he says that Mala Pri Im Pri Shekein Shnei Gufim, in this case Shnei Gufim, the mother and the child, that is Achzorius. But if it's Guf Echad, then just like you're allowed to eat any part of the Guf after Shechted, the Torah never objected that that would somehow inculcate cruelty into your attributes, so too one of the parts of the mother is its milk. Okay, let's leave the Chassam Sofer. I'm just mentioning it just to show you what I call a different approach to Torah learning. Shivim Panim LaTorah. Now, the simple pshat in the Gemara, without the Chassam Sofer, is the following. Ein lilmod, we cannot derive hi atzma bechelba with a kalvachomer from Shechita. Why? Because in Shechita, there's no room for even a Havamina to be machmir in the case of Pri and Pri. Why? Because Pri and Pri has nothing to do with an Isur Shechita. You know, the more shechting you do in a day, the better. You know, we're going to pay a shochet because of all the Shechita that he does. So he can shech Pri and Pri. That's not an issue. Masha'ei came in the case of Bishul, there is a logical reason why Pri and Pri is Asur, and that's because it's called Shnei Gufim, which means that you're taking the milk and the meat, which are two different entities, and you're cooking them together. That chaluka, so to speak, of Shnei Gufim is a Siva Ha'oseres. In the case of Shechita, the fact that it's Shnei Gufim would Adarava Lekatra be a Siva Materes? It's the unique relationship between the mother and the child when you shech them both on one day, where it's really goof echad. That's where the Torah was machmir and said, you're not allowed to do that double shechita on one day. But this has nothing to do, says the Gemara, with the question of Basa Mecholav. Because in Basa Mecholav, I understand very well that the Torah prohibits pre-impri, which means to goofim, much more so than pre-ima'em, which is goof echad. So in other words, in the case of shechita, it's the similarity or the close relationship between the mother and the child that generates the Isur Shechita. As soon as we can separate that and generate a Shnei Gufim, then we have reason to be Matir. But in Basa Mecholav it works in just the opposite direction. That Shnei Gufim, or what we call pre, is the root of the prohibition. That because you have two goofim and you're combining two goofim in one bishul, the Torah asks that. But in a case of priyam emo, which is more similar and that becomes goof echad, there we don't know that the Torah would be machmir. So dafka in shechita, priyam emo is a reason to generate the isur. Now at this point,
and for this reason we need the puzzle.
Right. Now at this point, we invite into our classroom Rabbi Meir, who is one of the Balei HaTosfos, and he's quoted in what's called the Tosfos HaRosh. The Rosh has his own Tosfos in, and in his Tosfos he quotes Rabbi Meir. Now this question that Rabbi Meir asks on this Gemara that we just learned is a very, very profound question. He says the following. The Kal Vachomer, from which we derived that Cholav Atzma is Asur, is not a Kal Vachomer that's based on Priu Pri. The Kal Vachomer is from Shechita. The Torah was Machmir in Shechita to prohibit shechting the mother and the child, and so too, with a Kal Vachomer, the Torah would be machmir in the case of the mother and it's the mother's flesh with its own milk. Correct? So if the Torah was machmir in Bishul, because we saw that Kedibah B'chalev Imo, which is called Priu Pri, the Torah prohibited it, then how much, which in its parallel corresponding case in Shechita would be Mutter, how much more so would the Torah be Machmir in the case of Bishul with regard to Priyam Emo? Because again, if Priyam Emo is an Oser in Shechita, where the Torah was more Bekil in Priyu Pri, then how much more so in the case of Basa Mecholav, where the Torah is Machmir Pri and Pri, and that's the case of the Torah of Kedibah B'chalev Imo, how much more so Kedibah B'chalev Atzma, which is Pri and Imo, certainly the Torah would prohibit it. So says the Rabbeinu Meir, what's the Gemara's Pirch over here? The Gemara says, Ba L'Pri and Pri, Shekein Shnei Gufin. We never derived anything from Priu Pri. The Malamed here was not Pri and Pri. And now you're going to start telling me, well, Pri and Pri is too goofy. We never derived anything from Priu Pri. The Kal Vachomer was based on Shechita. Shechita is the Malamed. And if we have a justified reason to derive our conclusion from Shechita to Bishul, then what are you telling me that it's goof echad versus shnei goofin? That would be a question that you could ask if I was trying to derive the case of goof echad from shnei goofin. So you could say, well, you can't compare goof echad to shnei goofin. Do you follow? If my whole framework was basa mecholav, and the Torah says that you can't cook Gidi B'chalev Imo, which is Shnei Gufim. Now I want to derive What about guf echad in the case of chalav atzma? Okay, so you can say, you know what? Maybe the Torah prohibited shnei gufim, but not guf echad. That's not a pirch on the kal v'chomer. We're not deriving chalev atzma from chalev imo. We're deriving chalev atzma from the equation of the kal v'chomer from shechita. So if you want to come up with a pircha, you have to somehow differentiate between shechita and the case of basam chalav. That's not a valid pircha. You can't have a pircha because of two different cases of basam chalav. I never tried to compare two different cases of basam chalav. I was trying to compare basam chalav to shechita. And if shechita, the Torah was making in pre, and yet it was machmir pre of imo, how much more so in basam chalav, where the Torah is machmir pre, then the Torah would be machmir pre of imo. So when he give me a pircha, well, you know what? Pre is considered two goof, and pre of imo is only one goof. That would make sense again if we were totally entrenched in basam chalav, we want to derive B from A in basam chalav. But if our equation is to what? Is to shechita, then you have to have some sort of a pircha the kal v'chomer from shechita. That's the rabbinic.
But you are allowed to cook the kid with its mother. And even if they're not slaughtered on the same day, you could cook the kid with its mother, just not with its mother's, not with the milk.
So what's the case? He's not shechting anything.
Right, but it's because we're talking about pre v'imo. If the pre is they're not checked on the same day, they're checked at different days.
Right.
But then you're cooking them together.
Right. You're that's where the Torah prohibits, right?
No. It's not prohibited to cook the actual mother itself, the basar of the mother and the basar of the.
Oh, right. That's what, right.
But that's if you're learning from shechita, then you're cooking. In other words. With basar chalav, they're talking about the chalav being the pre, and
the chalav is the.
But if the basar, you're talking the basar being the pre, the basar of the gadi being the pre,
right.
Then there's no valid comparison because it is permissible to do the pre v'imo.
So wait a second, Eric. I just want to understand when you say there's no valid comparison, only because my head is in this Rabbi Meir. Are we talking about the comparison to shechita, or are we talking about the bitter comparison between chalev imo and chalev atzma? Just so I know my head, I want to just wrap my head around what you're saying in terms of comparison.
I have to think about that. So we were just talking about the pre in imo with the milk and the mother.
Right.
Talk about that and the comparison.
The mother with its own milk, correct?
Right. The mother with its own milk.
That's called pre of imo.
Right, pre imo. But the mother with its own kid is also pre imo.
Correct.
So wouldn't that, if that's allowed, if then how can you use pre imo? Is not even a, you know, you can't use the category of pre and emo because there's a pre and emo which is permissible.
Wait a second. Let me see if I understand your question. There's a basic question you could ask over here, and that is a case of basar and basar. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So now Eric is asking, well, if there's reason to prohibit pre and emo, which is Gemara's conclusion based on the kal v'chomer, or alternatively, if we reject the kal v'chomer based on the yitur of the kra, and that's going to be pre of imo. So, what about basar and basar? Why doesn't the Torah prohibit basar and basar under the halacha of pre of imo? So, I'm not sure how to answer that question. Maybe the answer to that question is, from some sofer's perspective, that it's not considered achzorios. Of course, you could check as many and cook as many different meats as you want together. Or maybe the Torah considers the cholov to be something more sensitive than the basar. I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. But you're asking a very basic, independent question that has to be taken under advisement. Meaning, if we're for whichever derivative it is, whether it's the Kal V'chomer, the Pasuk, we come to the conclusion that Priya Imo is Asur. Well, what about Basar and Basar? Why isn't that called Priya Imo? And apparently, pri of imo only applies to cholav. When we talk about a pri in Hilchos Basar v'Cholav, the Torah is talking about cholav. Now you're asking, why not basar? Basar is also a pri, right? Where, who produced the gedi? If not the mother goat? I don't know. That's an independent question that should be studied. If there's a bit of achzarios, if I cook the gedi with its mother's milk, so what if I cook the mother itself with the gedi? You know, why isn't that considered achzarios? I don't know. You know, we begin to sort of get really into time of the crop. But whatever it is, in terms of the structure of this sugya, basar and basar is never considered pre and pre. As far as bishul basar. Is that considered pre and pre?
I guess, but that which seems strange to me, because when they're in this whole discussion, when they say pre and pre, they're talking about basar, they're talking about the gedi, one of the pre's they're talking about is the gedi, is the kid. They're talking about the basar as more. In other words, when they're categorizing pre, they'd actually label pre, they say pre in pre, right? They're talking about the pre, one of the pre's they're talking about is chalav, and one of the pre's they're talking about is basar. So they've already labeled it the basar pre.
Right. But again, it's only a relative categorization. In other words, we're only going to call it pre relative to chalav. We're not going to call it pre relative to another piece of basar. And you're asking why? I don't know why. But those are the facts on the ground. But just to summarize that the Rabbeinu Meir is really throwing a bomb into this whole sugya. He says, I don't understand how the Gemara could come up with a pircha when our Kal V'chomer is from Shechita. So the Gemara is coming up with two different categories of Guf Echad versus Shnei Gufim, which is relevant to Basar V'Cholav, but it's not relevant to Shechita, and it doesn't in any way impinge, it doesn't generate a pircha on the Kal V'chomer from Shechita. That's his question. Alright. Rabosai. Now we get to a little bit of an easier sugya after finally 3 days sweating it out. And part of this I did for my sick bed. Now we want to know, how do we know that basar v'chalav is asur b'achila? How do we know it's asur b'adam? So you and I may say, because it says three times in the Torah lo savasha. The Gemara is unaware of that. The Gemara has Rav Ashi a different approach. Minayin lebasar v'chalav she'asur b'achila. Now, Rabosai, what we're about to learn is that there's a separate Isur Achila, lav of Achila in the Torah for Basar V'Cholav. That lav has many different cases subsumed under it, one of which is going to be Basar V'Cholav. But it's a lav of Achila, and I can't overemphasize that, because if you're going to derive the Isur Achila Basar V'Cholav from Lo Savasher, then there is no Isur Achila in the Torah. And this becomes extremely important when we get to the Isur Anah, because the Isur Anah in the Torah is always going to be derived from the Isur Achila. But is there an Isur Achila in Basar V'Cholav? If there's no Isur Achila in Basar V'Cholav, then you wonder, you know, how could you generate an Isur Anah when there's no Isur Achila to begin with? So Rav Ashi's solution to that problem is that he found a pasuk tucked away in Parashas Re'eh, in Sefer Dvarim, which prohibits Basar V'Cholav Achila. Where did he find such a pasuk? Shednemar, lo sochal kol toeva. Don't eat anything that's abominable. Now, you can come up with 50 different explanations of that pasuk, but Rav Ashi has his own unique interpretation. He says, kol sheti avti lecha. Whenever the Torah prohibits creating such an object, then it's asur b'achila, again, assuming it's an edible. So, for example, the Torah says, thou shalt not cook meat and milk together. And therefore, if the Torah says, I don't want you to cook meat and milk together, according to Rav Ashi's understanding, that means I don't want you to create something which is basar v'chalav. If the Torah says, I don't want you to create that basar v'chalav, that's called toeva. I'll give you an example, Rabosai. Let's take the case of a bechor that's kadosh l'mizbeach, right? We have a carbon called a bechor. So Ploni Almoni owns a bechor, and he decides, you know what? I'm going to outsmart the rabbis, and instead of bringing this as a carbon on the mizbeach, I'm going to take a little knife and cut something under its ear, and I'm going to make it into a baal mum. And then I'm going to shecht it and eat it. Because a baal mum can be shechted in the Medina, meaning it doesn't have to be taken to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says, kol b'cha, kol mum lo yeh bo. And the Gemara derives from that you're not allowed to make a b'char, or for that matter, any beimas kodshim, into a baal mum. So the Gemara is going to derive from that pasuk that if you went ahead and made this animal, this bechar, you made it into a balas mum, and then you went ahead and you shechted it, you're not allowed to eat its meat. Why? Because, well, sochal kol toeva. Since the Torah told me that I'm not allowed to create this baal mum, if I went ahead and violated that, then I've done a toeva and I've created something that's called a toeva, and there's going to be a separate lav of achila as a result of the fact that there was a toeva. And in the parallel of Rav Ashi, in the case of Basa Mechov, the Torah says that it's objectionable to cook meat and milk. When you went ahead and did so, what you created as a result is called the toeva. And now I take that toeva, I look at the pasuk of Sochal called toeva, and I put this into that pasuk. Now, on the side, again, this is just my own, I'm talking to myself here, I don't know why you get malchus if you ate basa mechola. We have a principle called lav shemechlolos. A lav shemechlolos means if the Torah with one lav includes many different isurim, like, for example, losochlo al adam. We learn many, many different things from losochlo al adam. And you don't get malchus because that's called the lav shemechlolos. But this is just... a madman talking to himself. I don't understand why you get malchus. But
according to Rav Ashi, don't necessarily hold that way. They rely on
correct. So Rav Ashi is telling me that when the Torah says "Osochol kol levela," included in that iser achila, which the Torah spells out, is basa mechola, and therefore Rav Ashi's conclusion is harehu bebal tochal. Now this is going to be great news because we can derive an Isra Hanna from an Isra Achila. And that's going to be based on the very, famous and far-reaching principle of Rabbi Avo that whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, is Echad Isra Achila, Echad Isra Hanna b'mashba. The only exception to that rule, which really gives us the rule, says Rabbi Avo, is nevela, where the Torah went out of its way to say, don't eat nevela, but feed the nevela to your dog, or give it, or sell it to your nachri, to a guy. So the Torah had to go out of its way to permit hana in the case of nevela, because otherwise, lo sochlu kol nevela would by definition include an isra hana as well. So Rav Ashi is really in good shape. Meaning, if you accept Rav Ashi's premise that lo sochlu kol toeva is a law for achilas basa mecholav, then ipso facto, based on the principle of Rabbi Avo, that whenever the Torah prohibits something in achila, it's including hana as well, we now can derive the third Isur basa mecholav, namely the Isur hana.
When we were talking about, last week we were talking about the chelev and chalav. Right, and you were, I think Rambam was citing this as the reason why we'd have malchus for eating chalev and
you're talking about the Nekuda Nifla, the Rambam, that the Isra Adar is the extension of the Isra Achila. Is that what
right.
you mean?
Yeah.
And that's why we don't apply the principle of Ein Isra Chalal Isra. I'm sorry. We don't apply the principle of an Isra Kolel in the case of an Isra Hanna. So, for example, if Bas Mechalev adds the Chalev for the Isra Hanna, nevertheless, we would still apply the principle of Ein Isra Chalal Isra, according to that Mani Omar, because of the Nekuda Nifla, because the Isra Hanna is not a separate Isra, but rather it's an extension of the Isra Achila. Rabbi Avo, if this is your point, I agree with you 1,000%. Rabbi Avo is really, in a sense, feeding us the Rambam. He's the source for the Rambam.
But what you just said is that if it's a that you wouldn't get Malkus if it's a part of a general.
Well, that's a different question. I was bothered by Malkus because of Masech the Malkus. Masech the Malkus has a principle that Lapshim B'chol doesn't generate Malkus. But I'm just trying to understand how Rav Ashi derives number one an Isra Achilin Basim B'cholov and number two an Isra Hanan Basim B'cholov. He has the Isra Achila in the Pasuk Lo Sochal called the Vela, and then the Gemara goes on to say Eli Ela B'Achila Ba'No Minayin Kid Rabbi Avo the Omer Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Lazar Kol Makom Shenemar Lo Yochal Lo Sochal Lo Sochlu with the Torah Emes. In any case, it specifies that Isra Achila, Echad Isra Achila, Ve'echad Isra Hanam Mashma. The only exception is giving the Vela, and Sheifrot Lecha Kosuv, Kider Sheparat Lecha B'Nevela, unless the Torah goes out of its way to be Matir Hanam, as it did in the case of the Vela, where it says, Leger B'Nesina, you're allowed to give the Nevela to a ger. Again, we're talking about a ger toshav, not a ger tzedek. He's only mekayim seven mitzvahs. Uliyom de kokom b'mechirav. He's not a ger toshav. He's only a regular akum. Then you sell it to him, and we have a whole discussion whether you're allowed to sell it to a ger, whether you're allowed to give it to a nachri, an ovid kochavim. But in any event, we see from Rabbi Avo that whenever the Torah prohibits achila, that ipso facto it includes an Yisra'no as well. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, since the Torah prohibits Basim B'chol B'Achila under the law of Lo Sochel Kol Nevela, then ipso facto, it includes an Iser Hanan. So let's just make a note of where we got to today. We're up to Nisanya. And let's just make sure that we close everything up. I already put away the pot. Okay, I want to take a picture of that. And we're going to somehow beat the system. Okay.